CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, is here, and we're looking at the New World Report. We go immediately to the news from Peru. You will recall that Peru's presidential election was extremely close, and the two candidates waited some days before a decision was made with much turmoil for a new candidate on the world scene. Pedro Castillo, who you will remember in photographs because he's always wearing a very large hat. He continues to wear that very large hat, though he's not as welcome as he was when he first came into office. I read from the news in these last days. Opposition legislatures in Peru's Congress have presented a motion to impeach President Pedro Castillo. The motion last week, which was supported by the party of narrowly defeated right-wing presidential candidate Keiko Fujimori, cited, quote, moral inability to govern, signatures of 28 legislatures. It will need 52 votes from the 130-seat body to begin impeachment proceedings. A vote is not yet scheduled. A final vote to remove Castillo would eventually require 87 votes. Joseph, this looks like continuing the election by other means, the impeachment of Castillo. But I do note that we've reported that Castillo is not quite the leftist, authoritarian, get rid of the palace and be one of the people president he campaigned to be. Does that make him unpopular not only with the opposition but puzzled by his own supporters?
Well, I guess to some level it could, and there has been friction within his political party, but it's more about personality politics, more about who he's positioning in certain positions of power within the cabinet, who he's removing in other instances. But overall, I think there is a general consensus among non-supporters that he has alarmed many of the establishment and some of the more moderates to elites in Peru, that he has been sympathetic to the terrorist movements. And I think that's something that Peru has a long history. They've been fighting terrorist groups all the way back into the 20th century. They have a long history of being hard, having a hard stance against that. And the fact that he opened up his cabinet with not just terrorist sympathizers, but members of those former terrorist groups. I mean, even if they didn't last very long in his cabinet, nonetheless, the fact that he did that, I think, ostracized a major part of the electorate, even people that potentially might have voted for him during the election, and now they're all kind of regretting it. So the Congress is making their move. He just crossed his 100-day threshold, and they're looking at impeaching him, as you mentioned, John. I don't believe they have the votes quite yet, but they're starting to build the momentum. Over the weekend in Peru, there was a major protest, an anti-Castillo protest. About 77,000 people or so marched the streets of Lima. And so they're starting to build momentum to be able to figure out if they can depose President Castillo through an impeachment proceedings. But I think this is going to largely depend on whether President Castillo makes a major mistake. And so far he's made several small mistakes, but nothing major that's created a scandal throughout the country. There are investigations pursuing against his political party for all kinds of different corruption and campaign fraud, campaign finance fraud, and things like that. But definitely the battle is on inside Peru over his presidency.
Peru is also in the news. There's a column at The Economist written by the pseudonymous Bello that is striking. Given that we're in the midst of a pandemic, given that Peru has an impeached or threatened to be impeached president, given that Castillo has been not only toying with the radical left, but also with the Chinese inheritors of the natural resources of Peru. And then this report from London. Peru, let's take off again, which is the English translation of the Spanish. I'm sure you'd do it for me, Joseph. Pleads the slogan in big letters across the glass front of Lima's airport terminal. In the colonial heart of Quito, Ecuador's capital, a small group of blonde tourists stand out like an exotic species in a sea of dark-haired street vendors. From the beaches of the Caribbean to the lakes of Patagonia, the question being asked is that posed earlier this year in a cartoon by El Roto in a Spanish newspaper. He drew two empty sun loungers with one asking the other, do you think they'll come? The point of this is that Peru is looking for tourists in a pandemic. Now we have this unknown of another variant of the pandemic. Is that Peru's future, to count on tourism to restore stability for the pandemic-racked country because it was one of the worst of the sufferers in the first year of the pandemic.
No, absolutely, John. Tourism is a big part of Peru's GDP. It's a big part of their economy. Remember, they have some of the biggest tourist attractions in the hemisphere, including the famous Machu Picchu, the ruins from the Inca Empire. They also have one of the world's top cuisines. And if anyone's eaten Peruvian food, they know what I'm talking about. And so people actually go to Peru to taste some of the glorious restaurants that they have, especially in Lima. But all this is caveated, as you said, John, on the pandemic, you know, and they had a hard year. As you mentioned, they were the country that was hardest hit by the pandemic in terms of infection. But because they, in my opinion, overreacted in the sense that they closed down very early, they locked down their country very early and maintained strict lockdowns throughout most of the 2020, it hurt their economy as well. And I think what President Pedro Castillo has realized is that he needs to revive that economy. That's his buffer against any impeachment proceedings, because if the economy continues to deteriorate in Peru, there's going to be more momentum and more support to be able to impeach him. You know, as long as the Peruvians are happy with relative stability or a little bit of growth in their economy, they may forget about all the political circus and the scandals and the corruption, at least not immediately drive towards it. But if the economy is underperforming, they're going to look at that as their main sense of grievance and look to support the impeachment proceedings that are already in place. So I think that this is a major problem for President Castillo, but it's easier said than done, because attracting the tourism in a pandemic that's persisting with new variants and everything like that is going to be very difficult. He's going to have to maybe go against his tendencies to be more controlling over the economy and let the economy open up and not be strict on lockdowns.
Joseph Umar is the executive director of Secure Free Society. We're headed to Colombia, where Joseph has visited recently along the borderland between Colombia and Venezuela. And the question about FARC, the revolutionary organization now integrated into some aspects of Colombian government. This is the New World Report. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.